This podcast is brought to you by Touch a Life.
Hello, listeners. I'm your host, Jayashree, and you're listening to Tal Radio, powered by Touch a Life Foundation. Welcome to Leadership for Life with Kira Kavanaugh, president of 15B Wellbeing, a company dedicated towards creating learning experiences for leading corporations, workplaces, teams, groups, and individuals, because they believe that no one should sacrifice well-being for performance. In today's interview, we are going to talk about how we can care about ourselves. Oh, this is something that many people talk about, isn't it? A lot of articles, loads of podcasts, multiple videos on how one can care about themselves and why is it important and how you can do it, what will be the outcome of it. We've heard a lot, but I would love to tell you this, it is not enough. When so much information is already been put together and presented, why is it that we are still lacking in it? Why is it that we are still not able to care better for ourselves and accept ourselves the way we are and work wonders for ourselves? Why are we still lacking in it? Let us just think about that for a second, and let us take more insights from Kira today. Without any further delay, let's welcome Kira onto our show today. Hi, Kira. Thank you for being back on Tal Radio.
Hi, Jayashree. Hello, everybody. It's so nice to be with you today.
Wonderful. So it's care for yourself today.
It is. And like you said, it's a big challenge, even though there's so much information out there. Sometimes it still can't overcome some of the barriers that we have towards self-care.
Yes. And that is exactly what we are going to learn from you today. So without any delay, my first question to you, Kira, why is self-care crucial for maintaining effective leadership performance and longevity in one's career?
So there's that old expression, we can't drink from an empty cup. You may have heard of that plenty of times. Self-care is about valuing yourself enough to care for yourself. The challenge is that the definition of self-care in terms of action, what it is that each one of us needs to do, can be very different. So not only is it a challenge to value ourselves enough to care for ourselves in the way that we need, it can also be a challenge societally or familially, because we may be getting messages that self-care is selfish. And then even if we buy into the value of self-care, we may not know ourselves well enough to know what we can do day in and day out to administer that self-care in the optimal way for us as individuals.
Understood that. Having said this part, how does prioritizing self-care contribute to improved decision-making and problem-solving abilities in leadership roles?
So if you feel depleted, if you're exhausted, if you're hungry, are you able to make a decision that is as sound as if you have gotten a really good night's sleep, you've spent time with people you love, you have cared for your body, your mind, your emotional well-being, your spiritual sense of purpose, all of the other ways that we can care for ourselves and our well-being? Do you make a better decision once you've cared for yourself or not? So as leaders of our own life, it's critical that we understand the value of caring for ourselves as being foundational. It's not enough to skip sleep and then wonder why we have trouble focusing. So there's a direct correlation and connection between caring for ourselves and being able to be fully present, to have the energy to do the things that we want to do, to be able to have the willpower to actually accomplish them, to be able to emotionally regulate ourselves so that when things, difficult things happen, we still feel like we can handle them. So self-care is foundational. And when we feel depleted, we have to understand that our performance, our thoughts, our feelings, the way we show up, the way we react, are influenced. There's a direct connection. And if we're not aware of that, it's easy for us to devalue caring for ourselves.
Makes beautiful sense there. It's important that we understand this term much more better than what the entire world just normally, just like that says about. So it's important that we understand the depth of it very well. And because we are talking in terms of leadership roles and leaders, why is it important for leaders to set boundaries and allocate time for self-care activities amidst their demanding schedules?
Because we won't fit it in otherwise. So first you have to recognize you need it. Now let's debunk the myths of self-care. If you look on social media, self-care comes with hashtag bubble bath, a hashtag spa day, hashtag all kinds of privileged activities and investments that we're encouraged to make in our capitalistic society, right? So first of all, we need to prioritize it, because if self-care is about getting a bubble bath, then that can feel frivolous, it can feel unnecessary. And even if we make time for a bubble bath, I love baths, but even if we make time for it, but we're on our phone, or we're thinking about work, or we're worrying about a relationship, whatever relaxation time in that bath that felt like an investment in yourself isn't going to feel like a payoff, because we weren't fully present and we weren't taking that opportunity to really relax and invest in caring for ourselves. So just like with multitasking, if we're half thinking about two different things at once, we're not present for either one. So the reason to set boundaries is because, just as you said in your question, if we've got a schedule where every moment of the day is accounted for, how are you ever going to make time to do the things you love, to spend time with people that you love, to invest in yourself, if you don't set boundaries? So setting boundaries in this case is as simple as carving out time in your day, blocking time, negotiating with others to say, I haven't taken a lunch, I need to go take lunch. It's to recognize, like for me this morning, waking up and feeling depleted when I started my day, how's that gonna go? Well, just stepping outside into the sun for 5 minutes helped me feel more energized. The other thing about setting boundaries is that this is a daily exercise, self-care. It's important that we separate vacations, holidays, religious observances, other sort of structural ways that we take a break from work. Those are all very, very important, but we need to distinguish those. Those boundaries are kind of baked in, right? We carve out that time and set it aside. Where we really have the opportunity to focus is to really focus on, what boundaries can I set? What opportunities can I create for me? And to recognize that self-care is an active daily, hourly, moment by moment pursuit.
Very well said. And now that you're saying about the schedule part here, I would love to ask you about your schedule. How do you, regulate your schedule towards, building certain daily habits or rituals that you can engage in to nurture your physical, mental, and emotional health as a leader? How do you do that? And how can our listeners take some tips from them?
That's a great question, and I appreciate you holding me accountable as well. So there are some very simple things I do. I carve out time, I set aside time in my morning routine for contemplation, for quiet, and for really tuning in to my own wisdom and my own intuition. So where my husband will wake up and make coffee and start reading the news, I used to do that, and I recognized what researchers have proven, which is if we start the day with a barrage of information, especially negative information, it influences our mood throughout the day. And in this particular study, researchers identified even a few minutes of news in the morning then can dramatically Well, physically still has an effect on our mood at the very end of our day. So rather than that, what I know for myself is I get up and the very first thing I do is I take a shower. Now, we may not think of bathing as self-care, but bathing is a critical foundational opportunity for self-care. And when many of us are working remotely, it's easy to skip the shower. It's easy to skip brushing the teeth. It's easy to forget to wash our face. We get up and we get our coffee or our tea and we sit down and we start working, or we get into our mode of transportation and we get to work and we haven't even breathed. So what I do is just after I've cared for my body, then I go and I sit down. And I have these little chimes I listen to and I sit. And the very first thing I do is this, I scan my body. I ask my brain, what am I thinking today? Are my thoughts more negative or positive? Is my brain quiet or maybe sleepy? Or is it very busy? It's already thinking about what needs to be done. Then I scan my heart and I just check in on my emotional self. How am I feeling today? Are my feelings more positive than negative? Am I feeling very dull and disconnected? Am I feeling very activated and excited? And I really just listen, not analyzing, not judging, just tuning in. And then I feel the sensations in my body. Does my body feel sleepy? Maybe I slept on my shoulder wrong and there's pain there. So I just do a body scan and I notice the state of my energy, thoughts, feelings, and sensations. From there then, I relax the scanning, and I just drop into my belly. I drop my breath into my belly and I just breathe. And I really just start to let go and start to imagine myself as energy, as a sun or a galaxy. Or maybe I'll hear a bird singing and I just let myself become that bird song. So I let myself relax. And then I wait, I ask, what should I know today? I tune into my intuition. What should I know today? Now, you may have some spiritual or religious beliefs, and this is a beautiful opportunity. I know many, many people who at this moment may come into prayer. They may chant a mantra. They may create a ritual, saying affirmations or doing a holy scripture study. Whatever feels right in that moment for you, for me, I just tune in and I ask, what should I know today? And then I wait. So I start my whole day with this peace, the sense of calm, and reminding myself that I know what's best for me today. Now, once I've done that sitting, sometimes I'll do a little journaling if something's come up that I want to reinforce or remember. Then I start my day. Well, just like many of you, I get really busy and my brain starts filling with all the things I need to do and all kinds of stimuli are coming at me. Here's what that morning ritual does. I can take a big breath in. I can remember sitting in the morning and feeling that sense of relaxation. I can remember the bird song, and then I can bring myself back to that sense of peace. Another thing I'll do is I block off Friday afternoons, so I don't have any meetings on Friday afternoons, so that I can take care of some of my own needs. That may be going out into nature, it might be spending time with a friend or a loved one, it may be taking care of some of my household business. And then on Mondays, I don't schedule meetings, so that I've got quiet time to really focus on my work, because a lot of the work that I'm doing is very developmental and I need some time and space. Sunday afternoons is family time in my family. No matter what's going on, we take time to get out of the house and get into nature, be outside, be in the community. Sunday morning is time for all of us to come together and worship. And then Saturdays are my market days. They're my family kind of feeding days. So I go to the market first thing in the morning. I'll cook, I'll bake my bread, I'll do some other things. And then I go out in the evenings so that I can get out of my home space. So you'll see some of it is daily care And some of it is more scheduling into a calendar on a weekly basis to create some routines. Routines create boundaries so that you're not always having to negotiate for those few minutes. My family understands my rhythms and I model self-care for them. So hopefully that gives you some ideas.
Very beautiful. I am literally going to copy it.
Good for you.
Definitely. I'm sure it's gonna do wonders for me. The reason I asked you to explain about your schedule is because every day, like, you know, life is different for every single person. It's true that even if you're living in the same house, each of us have a different rhythm, each of us have a different ideology and a different priority. Sometimes it's extremely, we live together, but it's like, why are we so different? It's the same. And for me to ask you about this routine was so important because I wanted to hold an example of how you can design it on a daily basis. And as you said, on a schedule basis, which gives you a lot of insight on how you can tailor it for your personal needs and for your ideologies. So for me, I believe whatever you said resonated really well, connected extremely well, because you being a working woman saying all of that and me being the same and trying to connect to that, it made much, much more sense to me. So thank you so much on emphasizing with that.
Of course. Now,
thank you. With this understanding, I'd like to ask you on practices of self-compassion. You know, how can practicing self-compassion enhance a leader's ability to handle stress and pressure while maintaining emotional resilience?
This is the key to leadership. Emotional resilience, emotional regulation, emotional well-being is key. There are generations of leaders, especially in the workplace, that have been trained to believe that our mind, the way we think, how smart we are, how quickly and well we're able to solve problems is the key to being a good leader. And I challenge that at its base sort of presumption of what's important. Compassion is critical. And how do we give compassion and empathy to others? What is compassion? It's my deep desire for you not to suffer. Now, if I am not at all in touch with my own emotional well-being, if I don't practice kindness to myself, if I don't practice equanimity, that is the ability to be non-reactive to the positive and negative things in life, but just to sit in that tension without action, if I don't practice that in my own life, can you imagine how I'm going to show up to friends, family, however you define yourself as a leader? I'm going to be a hot mess. Whatever emotional discomfort is going on in me, whatever discomfort I'm feeling in my body, like a child, I'm going to react, I'm going to act out, and then I'm not being a leader. Now I'm just wallowing in the difficulty of being a human being. And believe me, being a human is difficult, and we all like to wallow. I'm not saying that you don't have moments where you just want to feel sorry for yourself, right? I did this morning. But the challenge is that we have the opportunity to recognize, oh, I'm doing it again. Where is the opportunity here? Is the opportunity to sit in the funk? Is the opportunity to sit in those base level emotions of anger and betrayal and frustration and sadness and blame and shame and guilt and all that stuff? Nobody wants to live that way. So we have the opportunity as leaders to recognize when we're going there. We all go there. Like I said, I went there this morning. I was feeling sorry for myself. I even had a little cry. And then the opportunity is to switch, to observe that's how I'm feeling and to say, wait a second, I have a choice. And so I sat there, I put my arms around myself and I just rocked and I self-soothed. And I just talked to myself and I just said, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay that you're feeling sorry for yourself, right? Acknowledge it. So often we feel something and then we feel some sense of guilt or shame or wrongness about whatever that emotion is. And now we're just reacting to trying not to feel the thing that we're actually feeling. So instead, leadership is about recognizing, oh my goodness, I'm feeling sorry for myself today. I'm going to give myself a hug. And I'm just going to, in whatever way you like to self-soothe, breathe in and just be okay with yourself for a moment. Feel into where you're feeling that feeling in your body. Say, talk to yourself. I put my hands on my heart and my heart felt so heavy. So then I recognize the opportunity and I offer myself compassion. I'm sorry that it's hard for you this morning. I'm still rocking while I'm talking to you now. I'm sorry it's hard. Where are the opportunities to find gratitude, to find joy, to find compassion, to find peace, to find love in this human experience, in this moment right now? When we can tune into that for ourselves, how can you not extend that to the people around you? It starts with us, and we don't always think of self-care as really tending to our emotional and physical being in terms of the way emotion feels in the body. Once we give ourselves permission and a safe space to be able to do that, to have a good cry, to punch a pillow, to type up a nasty letter and not send it, right? Then we get that energy out of our bodies. When we're kind to ourselves through that self-care, the whole world changes. Now I can be compassionate to you because I know I had some trouble this morning. Maybe you did too. And maybe you're having a phenomenal day, but maybe tomorrow is going to be difficult. So then I see through that lens. I see through the lens of patience, through curiosity, through compassion, through a human-to-human connection that releases and reduces judgment. And if you think about the most inspiring leaders, who comes to mind? Just have someone pop up into your head. Aren't those some of the behaviors that they exhibited? That to me is how we elevate out of those base emotions that are just part of the human condition and we rise above them. We see that there's an alternative. And that to me is true inspiring leadership.
Wow. I literally could feel the warmth in whatever you have just said. I'm really glad we are having this conversation. It's extremely important that every single person knows how they can accept their feelings, accept themselves. Like you said, you know, just hug yourself, give a little rock, and then try to understand whatever you're feeling is validated to your own self and accept, move on with it, get over that. And beautifully said. I'm really admiring you right now because whatever you said is something that I try to practice. Also, the word that you said, write a nasty email and don't send it. I have done that, you know, more than 100 times so far. Whoever has troubled me, I would literally feel like, you know, bursting out in anger and saying everything that's in my head. But then again, I take a piece of paper, I take a pen, sit down, I just scribble anything and everything that comes to my mind and just trash it.
Yes.
That actually gives me a lot of relief. So I am glad I'm doing one thing that you have mentioned. So I'm glad I'm on the right track.
Yes, you are.
Wonderful. And why is cultivating a culture of self-care within a team or within an organization beneficial for the overall team morale, the productivity, and the creative innovation? Why?
Because it helps our energy flow. Creativity comes from free-flowing energy, from an openness to possibility, to the ideas that come into our head through observation of the world around us. How do we write a song? How do we make a piece of visual art? How do we dance? It's in response to the energy that's flowing around us. So self-care, especially with the release of the negative energy through, you know, pounding on a pillow or writing a nasty email and not sending it, or yelling loudly just, you know, to yourself on a mountaintop or a rooftop or in the corner of a room or whatever, right? Learning to release that without needing to have a victim helps that energy get unstuck from us so that it flows. So creativity happens because we're open, because we've released some of that. So how do we get that energy to flow? By moving our bodies, by doing art, by getting lost in a hobby, by spending time with people we adore. That's when the energy is flowing, it's expressing, you're releasing. And when we do that, then we're also more open to receiving. So whether we're in a team at work, or whether we're in a family setting or friends or working with our community, when we see and understand it's this flow of energy, not just out of me and into me, but out of you and into you, and out of you and into me, and out of me and into you. And now all this energy is flowing among and between us. Now we can work collectively. We create this beautiful collaborative fill in the blank awesomeness of our energy to create and make something so much bigger than ourselves. But this for many leaders is counterintuitive because, again, of the way that so many leaders in the workplace have been trained and have learned to work. And that is to narrow our focus, to focus only on the task at hand, and to do that task as efficiently as possible, right? This has been the prevailing mindset of management for over 100 years. So it's hard to break that. It's hard to expand our imagination, expand our lived experience, to understand that actually when we pull back from the efficiency motive, the task motive, the I'll do this part, you do that part, and we'll work in parallel form of management, that we're actually limiting that flow. Of course we can achieve that way. It's not an either or. But if you've always managed or led in that way, I'll give you another example. As a mother, I was all about efficiency. Put your shoes away, go brush your teeth, come down for dinner. Why are you late? Let's go, let's go, let's go. So I created a family and a culture in the family as a leader, co-leader with my husband, of efficiency, of task focus. And as I've aged and my children have aged, I think often about, well, what if we had been a different kind of family? What if we had been a family that really focused on fun first, efficiency second, or really listening to each other first and doing our tasks and having to come up with answers ourselves second, if at all? So hopefully that helps you get a sense of, depending on the frame that we've come up with, depending on what we value most, which is often, like your question asks, about performance, which begs efficiency, which begs focus, which begs individualism, which begs, you know, sort of constricted energy. What if your view is much more open to see that when I listen to you, when we create a safe environment where everybody's voice matters, and we all come from different places, as you suggested earlier, now what can happen is limitless. And that's when the fun begins. But it means as leaders, we've got to be willing to step out of thinking that our leadership requires command and control, power, and ultimate sort of strategizing of what the entire group needs to do. Instead, we open ourselves up to see all the possibilities. And management science for decades has shown that when we do that, we're actually more productive than the sort of old industrial command and control way of thinking and managing.
Beautiful. An entire community together is something that can create much more collective, positive energy. And it's about being a tribe together. That's it. So thank you so much, Kira, for your valuable experience and valuable expertise, insights for our listeners. Thank you so much for your time and energy today as well. It was great talking to you.
So nice to talk with you. I challenge everyone who's listening today to think about, just for a moment, feel in as we wrap up to one thing that you would love to do to care for yourself. And it can be a little thing or it can be a really big thing, but I hope today you'll leave inspired with an action that you can take to improve your self-care.
Absolutely. I'm taking that with me, and I hope all our listeners are definitely doing it. So that was Kira Kavanaugh for all of you today, and you're listening to Tile Radio, powered by Touch a Life Foundation. This is your host, Jayashree, signing off for today. Stay tuned and keep learning.
You have just listened to Tile Radio podcast. For more podcasts, visit www.touchalife.org.